Really has been a great week, a great missions week. We kicked it off last Sunday with a missions message. Carlos was here with us throughout the week, on and off, and I hope that you had the opportunity to come and hear him share what was on his heart. I know he ministered to myself and a number of others with the words that he shared, and he also ministered to me, similar to Randy. Thank you for helping me build my fence. Appreciate it. It's done now. Well, the dog's caged in, which is what really matters. I guess the kids will be safe. Today we're going to look at our week two message on missions, looking at the Romans 10 passage. It'll probably be familiar to many of you, believing, speaking, sending, but it starts out with the heart of the message, which is the heart. The heart of anything that we do is our heart. Unfortunately, our biggest enemies of ourselves is pieces of ourselves. My biggest enemy is my mouth and my actions, because it betrays, well, it doesn't betray, it shows the real Brian. I can get dressed up, I can try to put on a good show, but eventually the inner Brian comes out. Whether it's in the words I say, how I say, what I do, what I don't do, those sorts of things. And unfortunately, the same thing is true for all of you all. Some people might have better self-control, but eventually our actions betray our hearts, and we can start to get a good feel for who we truly are. So as we go into the missions, emphasis at the end, the sending, the believing, all that other stuff, as we take a look at this, why am I not doing it? The problem is probably your heart. The problem is probably my heart. If I'm not sharing the gospel, it's not the fault of the gospel. It's not the community. It's not whatever. It's, well, there's something in me that's holding me back, or there's many things within me holding me back, and they're not Jesus. It's not his will that's holding me back. It's me. So let's go ahead and take a look at the Word of God. Let me pray for us, and we'll dive right in. Lord, we're so grateful for your word, your truth, which we can always hold up to ourselves. It's often painful as we see what we ought to be and then take a look at ourselves, but that's the only way that we're going to grow, is if we accurately assess ourselves. So, Lord, I pray that you would use your word to penetrate to our hearts, to our souls, that we would be changed, that, Lord, you would continue to use us, draw us outside of our comfort zones to grow us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We'll start out the heart for the lost. The Apostle Paul writes, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them," talking about Israel, the nation of Israel, "is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." So right now, Paul starts off here, verse 1, his heart's desire. His heart is for the nation of Israel. His desire and prayer to God is that they may be saved. This is everything that he is. He comes, as we know, the Apostle Paul was this Jew of Jew from a great high pedigree and a leader among the Jews. He was a man zealous for the thing of God, which is interesting. He uses that word zeal for God. He knows their zeal. Zeal can be a good thing, zeal can be a bad thing, it's just how we appropriate it. But his heart's desire, and we can see that in Paul's actions, his heart's desire is that this nation of Israel would be saved. We know Paul's life was radically transformed by the Holy Spirit. He has a passion for the lost. But it's interesting, his heart, his desire is for the nation of Israel, but who does God send him to? Everybody else. Everybody else, but he still has this burning passion that they would be saved. He says, "I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to God." He knows their hearts. They're zealous for the things of God. They want to, in a sense, they want to please God. They want to do the right thing, but they just don't have the right truth revealed to them. They haven't accepted the truth, so they're going to be they're going to be off. He's not making excuses for them other than they're ignorant of the righteousness of God. He says, hey, these are my people. These are people I know who they are. These aren't just faceless, nameless, horrible monsters. No, these are God's people, first and foremost, created in God's image, whom Paul desires that they not face eternal punishment. So as we look at Paul's heart, as I mentioned in the opening, what do we know about the heart? And this is important for all of us for this message. Matthew 12, Jesus says, a tree is known by its fruit. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, which is why it betrays us all the times. It betrays at least the brine I want to portray, the you that you want to portray to others. Our mouth betrays us. The good person out of the good treasures brings forth good. The evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. So unfortunately, we still have that sin-tainted flesh. So sometimes when our heart is not right with God, that other stuff starts to come out. On the other side, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, walking with the Holy Spirit, walking with God, we get that fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience. I don't have to force it. I don't have to, all right, Brian, you have to care for people that are lost today. You have to care for your family. You have to care for the church. You have to do, it just flows out if I'm walking with the Lord. Otherwise, it easily flows out. We know frustrations easily flow out when we're not walking with the Lord. This person did it again. This, oh, my goodness. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so out of the abundance of Paul's heart, his desire for God, his love for God, he has this love for these people that are lost. The Jews, they tried to establish their own righteousness. They tried to do their own thing to make them right with God. These are misguided, lost people with positive characteristics. They just are misplaced, and it's not to excuse them that, all right, well, we can just look over that. God's going to look over it. No, nobody's as terrible as we think or believe. And unfortunately, we all have and know people like that, that just have, they have zeal. In this world, there's an incredible amount of zeal. It's just misplaced or misaligned, or it's slightly skewed to the side. It can frustrate us, but it's just their zeal is simply misplaced, not totally out of whack. Let me mention a few items. Animal rights. We ought to be good stewards of the planetary resources God has placed under us. Well, we shouldn't go around just killing puppies and kittens and herding dolphins because we can. You know, all sorts of, we shouldn't be doing that. We know that the person who kills puppies and kittens and dogs and enjoys it, that's one of the trademark aspects of a sociopath. They're disconnected from God. So absolutely, God placed Adam and Eve to steward the resources of this world. But sometimes we can take animal rights a little bit too far of an extreme to place their rights above and beyond anything else in this world. There's a tension in things. But just because they're incredibly zealous of animal rights, what's a good thing? Let's meet there as we try to share God's truth, their love for these things, even if perhaps we don't share those. What about racial injustices? Everybody was created in God's image. There should not be racial or ethnic prejudices. Unfortunately, we all have them. We try to push them down, try to get rid of them. It's tough. There are serious racial injustices in this world, and that's not okay. It's not okay to walk into a mosque and kill 49 people because you don't like them. It's not okay to walk into a church and kill 49 people, or a synagogue, or into an African-American community. These things are not okay. But it's also, but some groups will take this to a far extreme, right? And they'll get zealous, and that frustrates us. But there's a good root because people are creating God's images. Zealous people just taking a little too far. What about LGBTQ rights? The gay and lesbian community. Once again, they have the same human rights that we all do. They shouldn't be murdered, discriminated against, whatever, just because they have a different sexual orientation. And we could debate about where that comes from and all that other stuff, or you can debate amongst yourselves. But they have the same human rights that we do. And they shouldn't be violated. Unfortunately, not everything is a human right. For example, marriage isn't a human right. It's a God-instituted institution. But they say that we shouldn't be discriminating, bullying them, whatever. That's not okay. But once again, some groups take things to too far of an extreme. Some people just do that. And that's all of us. We swing on pendulums. And Paul has an incredible heart looking back at the nation of Israel. He's, man, these people killed Jesus. They're trying to do the right thing for God. They're just incredibly misaligned. But he has this heart. It's not, how dare you do this to the Lord? All right, you're now on my list. You 1 million, 3 million. I'm not sure how many millions of Jews there are. They didn't make his list. He didn't knock down. No, they got to know Jesus. My people, and we all come from different backgrounds, so we have different soft spots in us. So for some of us, it might be some of the outcasts in society. For some of us, it might be the movers and shakers of community. We all come from different backgrounds, so God puts different hearts in us for your people. With the end, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. God fulfills the purpose of the law for all who believe. Wrath due to us for sin paid in full by the only one who lived this perfect sinless life. Jesus fulfills all of this. As we move on here, the heart-mouth relationship. For Moses writes about a righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven? Well, that is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near to you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. So Moses wrote about righteousness being the right saying God by pure obedience. God, let's do this, have this eternal life. But righteousness comes from faith, doesn't come from actions. At least it doesn't come from my actions. It comes from Christ's actions, faith in Christ's actions. I don't have to do this to have to bring God down here to reincarnate him. The verse 6 who will ascend to heaven, bring Christ down. I don't need to do this in order to have right standing with God. I don't need to re-raise Jesus from the dead. I don't need to do all these things to have a righteous way with life, a righteous life, righteous standing with God. In the context, Paul is quoting Moses in Deuteronomy to these Jews that they don't need to do all of this to know God's will, to know God's salvific will. They don't have to do all these things. God reveals them to him. Salvation is close, just as faith. The mouth and the heart, it's a both and. The mouth illuminates for the heart, for better or for worse, what is sitting there. And as we go through this passage, we'll see where Paul is going. Verse 9, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Key passage, salvation is from faith. There's this affirmation on the lips. Confess with your mouth. The words confirm what the heart already believes. Salvation has already come before those first words were spoken. It's not that God was waiting for you to finally say something in order for you to be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, confessing in your mouth that Jesus, this Lord, it's the Greek word, it means God, not simply just Lord over your life, but that he is God. The mouth reveals what we truly believe. Is Jesus God or not? We can look at James 2. James writes, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? Faith without actions is dead. If we don't have the actions, our actions, once again, my mouth betrays my heart. My actions shows where I have faith in. Do I really trust God or do I not? These actions of proclaiming his name says, yes, I affirm that he is God. But some of my actions, all right, Brian, are you willing to step out in faith here? No, I trust my own self more than I do you, God, in this situation. That's what it's both sides of the coin. It affirms that yes, I trust you, God, but if I'm not willing, I'm trusting myself more than God here in these situations. Believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, this overcame sin, that I don't have to do any of this. All you have to do is just believe in your heart that this is what God did on the cross. He paid for all of our sins. And you'll be saved from that. And it's simply faith. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes and is justified. With your heart you believe, and that's where you're declared righteous, that we're justified. And with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. We talked about shame last week. We're not going to be, our faith is never put to shame when we trust in the Lord. Verse 12, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. It doesn't matter what our background, our pedigree, we still get that lavishing the God's grace upon us. With our faith in him, he places that all on us. And now, our verses as we look towards what do we do with all this, he says, Paul writes, for everyone who calls on the name will be saved. This is a definite. Whoever calls on his name will be saved. This call, it's a great and wonderful promise to everyone who calls and says, Jesus, I need you, will be saved. So I see in my mind imagery of a drowning person. You're sitting there, you're in the ocean, you're drowning. Perhaps Jesus is in a boat not too far away. You could trust and rely on yourself. All right, well, no, I think I can take care of this. Or do I believe that this man, that Jesus over here in the boat, he can come over and he has the ability to throw me a life ring and he can save me? I mean, the person could know, all right, yeah, Jesus is right over there, but if I have no confidence in him, if I don't believe that he is capable of saving, then it's useless. It starts with there's already belief in there, which we'll get to later in the passage. And this is a universal truth. People need saving. Without Jesus, there's no actual peace or security, just condemnation. Verse 14, believe, then how will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel, or preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. How can they call on him if they have not believed? You, if you don't believe that this Jesus out here in the ocean can save you, you're not going to call on him. You might try every other method. Maybe if I can grasp for this wood over here, which is probably just going to get waterlogged and sink, or if I can just tread water, if I can pull off my pants, and you've probably seen that life-saving technique. You fill it with air and you wrap it around yourself, make yourself a little, that'll save me. It might get you through for a couple of hours, but you're still going to need Jesus over here in the lifeboat. You still need to believe that he is able to save you. We're all guilty of doing these things, whatever I can do to provide for myself. So if they don't believe that he's God, he's capable and willing, desirous to save them, then they won't call on him. The faith precedes calling. But then here, it's impossible for someone to believe something that you haven't heard exist. If you never heard of it, if you haven't, this truth hasn't been revealed, well, then you're out of luck. You don't even have the opportunity to believe or not believe. You're just left in the unbelief camp if you haven't even heard about it. How can people believe in Jesus if they've never heard of him? And that's about 2 billion people here in this world that never even heard of his name, or perhaps heard of it in a different context, perhaps heard of it in the Muslim context, but that's not the saving Jesus. That's a different flavor. How can people believe in Jesus if they've never heard of him? But then there's the speaking responsibility. And how are they to hear without somebody preaching? We need to speak in order for people to hear. They can't hear if nobody's speaking. And they can't believe if they haven't heard anything. And they can't call if they haven't believed. So finally, send. How are they preach unless they're sent. The person needs to be sent for, in order to be preached. Perhaps it's just locally, informally here in the church are raising up the folks to go in this community and send. Perhaps it's folks like Carlos or others from this church who have gone out worldwide to share the good news. There needs to be senders. It does no good for them, for me to stay here with all the knowledge and not bring it to them. It doesn't matter how full we get up here in the church with all this information about Jesus if they don't even have that basic truth that he died for us on the cross. There's a couple ways we can send. First and foremost, prayer. Prayer is an incredible way of sending folks off. John 6:44, no one can come to me, Jesus says, unless the Father who sent me draws him. That person needs to be supernaturally, spiritually drawn to Jesus. And I will raise them up on the last day, Jesus says. No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. There's a spiritual aspect that they need to be drawn in. True soul winning is more of a petition for souls than petition with souls. Now, please don't hear what I'm not saying. That I'm not saying don't speak, or else I'm saying that the scripture here is wrong. But in our sending, it's more of a petition whistle. If it's a spiritual transaction, it doesn't matter if I have the best debate in the world. It's not about winning an argument. It's about the Lord winning that soul. True soul winning is more of a petition for souls than with souls. So we need to be praying for our missionaries, praying for our preachers. A number of ways, you pray for the armor of God on them. They're protected from the spiritual warfare. Prayer for open doors. Pray for wisdom, discernment. Pray for boldness. I know cowardice very well. It's so much easier not to talk. Anybody with me there? It's so much easier not to open up your mouth. I'm not rejected if I don't open up my mouth. I need boldness. Pray for encouragement and other things as the Lord lays in my heart. Prayer is incredibly important. Praying for those who are going to... The fields for harvest, praying for those who are being sent. We want to be in prayer. Another way to send is financial. It takes resources to provide for people. We know that. We're Americans. It takes gas, plane, foods, housing. There's all sorts of overhead. So we can send people with our prayers, send people with our finances, which is wonderful. We set aside the 24% to be able to send folks around the world and around this country to share the good news. Also part of verse 15, how beautiful the feet of those who preach the good news. Well, why are they so beautiful? They're bringing God's incredible love and grace into a person's life. It changing them, not just here's a tick, but being able to allow the Holy Spirit to do what he does. Taking this person who is destined for condemnation and bring them into eternal life. To have the newness of life right now, they're bringing this incredible wonderfulness of God. How beautiful are those feet? Bringing this. It's not some warrior coming to knock down, but this wonderful news. We see in verse 16, there's truth and not everyone will believe it. But if I'm obedient to God in sending and speaking, then you know, it's not my responsibility with what people do with the message. It's up to them. That's between, they're not rejecting me, they're rejecting the Lord. Well, sometimes they are rejecting me. If I do the right thing the wrong way, well, then that's my fault. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Faith comes exclusively through hearing the word of Christ. It doesn't come through natural revelation as they see the stream going, wow, look how crystal clear that water is. You know, I think I need some water to remove my sins. I bet Jesus died on the cross. This isn't happening in third world countries. Even when the visions and everything are coming to Muslims in the dreams, what's often happening, Jesus is appearing to them and saying, you know, I am Jesus. He's revealing some truth. But he's saying, but go here, you need to meet this missionary. Go here, you need to meet this pastor. You need to talk to him. Go here, you need to talk to this church. And so God is sending them to these churches, and God is showing up, and wonderful things are happening in the Muslim world where they can't necessarily be out in the malls sharing tracts. Faith comes exclusively through hearing the word of Christ. We can be the best witnesses in the world, best witnesses of a changed life, and a best witness of attracting loving community, best witness of everything. But if we never get around to opening our mouths and sharing the gospel, the person is still lost. The person is still lost. We can't get to that call unless they first believe. Can't believe unless they hear. Can't hear unless somebody preaches. Can't preach unless they're sent. So in this church, we want to be a sending church, a prayer sending church, a financial sending church. But remember, way back at the beginning, Romans 10:1 says, "Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved." And I believe Paul. That is his heart's desire, that his burden of his life, or else why would he be going on 3 missionary journeys and being shipwrecked and beaten and all this other stuff? If it's just a thing to do after the first shipwreck, after the first beating, you know what, I'm done. I'll go ahead and find somebody else. But Paul's life demonstrated this is my heart's desire. It's my heart's desire that we have this heart's desire. I think for many of us, that first step is we need that heart. We need God to place into our lives that heart. I'm not sure what the barriers are. It's probably going to be different for each of us. So as we close up, I'll give opportunity to talk about sending, ways to send. But for many of us, I think it's just a simple prayer. Lord, give me the desire to desire people like that. Give me the desire to have your heart. I know I ought to. Your scripture says so. But, oh boy, I don't even want to feel like that. I'm pretty happy and content. Don't you know everything that's going around me right now? Lord, give me that desire. And ask those questions. Be courageous. Lord, why don't I have this desire? Well, what's going on? What's keeping me from where I ought to be and where I am with a desire for the lost? I'm not saying that we all that the Lord's calling all of us to bring 1,000 people to the Lord in every year. But if we don't have the desire, what's holding us back in that? I would encourage you in your prayer time, Lord, why don't I have that desire? You know, what's going on? And oftentimes, he'll fuel that desire if you just step out in obedience. You just take that risk. You step outside of your comfort zone and you're willing. Oh, well, that wasn't as bad as I thought. That conversation went, it wasn't as bad. They didn't spit on me or call me names or whatever. They just, okay, that wasn't that bad. And it builds up the faith. And as you pray, Lord, give me your heart. The Lord loves to answer those types of prayers. He might not answer the prayers of heal me from this illness or the whatever, but Lord, give me your heart. How could God not want to do that? He might have some stuff he wants to work out before that. But we need to be stepping out. We know... How do you get stronger? Physically, you need to exercise to get stronger. And so when you do that, you need to step outside of your comfort zone. If you continue to do 5-pound dumbbell curls, at some point pretty quickly, you're not going to get much stronger. You'll plateau quicker. So you need to be able to step up a little bit more, increase the weights. And that's how you get stronger. And that's how spiritually the same thing. Well, what was risk-taking for me 5 years ago is probably no longer risk-taking, no longer building my faith. It's probably the status quo. So we need to be willing to step out. Lord, what are you asking me to do? And build that heart within me. So he's looking, why is my heart not like Paul's and Jesus's? Well, is it possible I care too much about me? Probably. Why do I care so much about me and not trust in God as much? If faith without works is dead, our work shows us where our faith truly is. More is salvific, but every day, me versus God. So if I'm not stepping out, where do I really have my trust? And do I trust God you're going to provide for me when I step out? Or am I trusting, Brian, you don't have the right words to say? Just read a few more chapters in your Bible. You get to take another study. It's interesting, some of the most evangelistic people are those who first come to faith in the Lord. And then we start to wane off after a while. Most of us, a lot of us, not all of us. We want to increase our faith in God, stepping out of our faith. So what does the Lord want us to do? I believe he wants us to be a sending church. So I would say, Lord, give me that heart. If you'll open up your bulletin today, you have, this is the wrong one. Here we go. You have a little booklet in here called Faith Promise. It's put out by the Alliance. I'm not sure if we ever handed these out here, but just as a faith promise, if the Lord's speaking to you in this message, I need to step out perhaps in my comfort zone, and I'm not asking you to do anything the Lord's not telling you to do. If the Lord's not telling you to give a dime, if you give a dime, that's sin. And I don't want anybody doing that. But just a faith promise. Lord, do you want me to be a little bit more, giving a little bit more towards missions, to sending those people who can preach so people will hear, so people will believe and can call on the name of the Lord? There's a little tab on here. My faith promise. If the Lord's putting a dollar amount on there, I would encourage you to write that down. And I think it says give it to me. I don't need to see this unless you want me to see this. This is just a promise between you and the Lord. Hey, Lord, I think this year you want me to give $100, or this year you want me to give $10 a month. And this right here, this is for the Great Commission Fund that sends out missionaries like Carlos. But we know that there's more missionaries than just the Alliance. While I would love, for that, but there's folks we have on this missionary board. If the Lord's putting on your heart somebody else, put that down there. This coming up this summer, David's going to Cuba on a short-term missions trip. If the Lord's placing your heart, I'd love to come behind David and support him. Just write his name in there. Hey, the Lord wants me to give X dollars for David this summer. And then follow up with him about that. How can I support you? Do that. Randy and I, we're going to Peru also this summer. If the Lord's placing on your heart, I'd like to come alongside and support Randy and I. And, write that down there. Or any other missionary or organization. I would encourage us to be supportive, and also, Lord, what are you asking me to do? How are you asking me to step outside of my comfort zone? You don't have to go to a Spanish-speaking community in order to share the gospel. In fact, for many of us, that's going to be a hindrance because we don't Espanol so well. See? All right. But Lord, what are you asking me to do, God? And that's all I want is just, Lord, what do you want us to do? So, As the music folks come up here, just take a few moments, Lord. What do you want from me? Is it just enlarging my heart? Is it a faith promise? God, what do you want from me? Let's take a few moments in prayer, and then we'll have our closing song. Lord, may our hearts be yours. I pray that you would continue to mold our hearts to be more like yours. Have the compassion for the lost more than just our frustration. And Lord, as people feel promptings from you to support whatever works of the kingdom, I pray that you would place confirmation in those faith promises. Those are just promises between you and them and you. Lord, may you help each of us step outside of our comfort zone, and most importantly, draw our hearts closer to you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And so as Anna walks up here, so if you wanted to give towards the Great Commission phone with the Christian Missionary Alliance, you can just write a monthly or whatever check, put it in the into the offering plate and just write Great Commission Fund. You can go online also and set up, and you can just have an automatic deal, so it just takes money out of your account. That's what I do with most of my bills. Don't want to treat giving as a bill, but that's an option for you if that's something that you would like to do. You can also give online.
We'll be closing out by singing "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Please stand.